Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. What a week we had. You would not believe what is going on in the city of Benton Harbor. Nobody in their right mind will believe what is happening. And the sad part, the people, the community is accepting. You see, we have a live predator. His name is Michael Hoy. I don't want to get to him now. I'll get back to you and talk about this guy, Michael Hoy. I want to talk about right now just a few things to get us out. And also I want everybody to know, for the Sambo of the Year Award, we have a brand new leader. I was shocked when I saw who have taken over first place for the Sambo of the Year Award. And this has never, ever, ever happened before. We have a new leader for the Sambo of the Year Award. And it may have something to do with that guy, Michael Hoy. I don't know. But keep the votes coming in. Keep the votes coming in. Keep the votes coming in, because it's crucial. And what I want you to do, I want you to love life enough to struggle for progress. Everyone's future depends on you. One day, many will hang their head in shame for what they did to their own people when they realize the evil they defended and the heroes they ridiculed. That's right. And let me repeat that again. One day, many will hang their head in shame when they realize the evil and wickedness they defended and heroes they ridiculed. That's right. We are still in slavery here in America. A different form, but still slavery. Never, ever underestimate the power of stupid people in a small city, in a large group, in a large crowd. Never, ever underestimate the power of stupid people. The evil empire understands this. We are the ones who don't. Intelligence must be defined in terms of a degree, not a college degree, but a degree in which you solve your problems. The nature of education today prepares you to solve their own problem, not your own. That's why you study their books. Let me repeat that. The nature of education today prepares you to solve their problems and not your own. That's why you study their books. You go to their schools, you learn their information, their language, their style, their perception, so when you come out of school, you can do a humdinger job for solving Europeans, but you cannot solve your own. And here's the thing. Some of these guys walk around here like they're the smartest people in the whole wide world. But unfortunately, they cannot solve their own problem. They can't do that. Unfortunately, they cannot do that. So what we have here is martial law right now in the United States. Constitutional protection and the Bill of Rights are locked away in place in the storage. And the counter-revolution was unleashed with full fury and effort on African Americans, men, women, teenagers, and yes, our very own children. You cannot leave those who helped create the problem in charge of a solution. That's right. You cannot leave those who help create the problem in charge of the solution. That will not work. I'm going to bring in my good friend Henry, and I know Henry has a lot to say, and I want to make sure people understand how important it is. We had an incident about a couple of months ago about a young man inside the church attempted to rape a young man. This is the third time he had done this. His name is Michael Hoy. And what he do, he get you inside the church, get you drunk, then he misuse your body. He get you drunk so you can pass out and put a cord around your neck. And three times this has happened. And three times the police have refused to arrest this man. Well, you arrest him this time, but they dropped the charges because they said the guy was intoxicated. I don't know what that got to do. I guess they're saying when he's intoxicated, he couldn't articulate what happened. But that's not true. He told them exactly what happened. But unfortunately, they refused to put this man on trial. And this is the third time. He even lured a little boy into this place, to this church. And his mama came and bust out all his car windows after he bust out of there. We'll get back to that. I want to get to my good friend Henry, and I know he got a lot to say, and listen to what he got to say because it's huge. This is huge. So those of you who are out there, get prepared to hear a story that might get you too excited to even think about. My good friend Henry, talk to me. Talk to me, Henry.
Reverend Pinckney, how are you?
I'm great, Henry. I'm so glad to hear your voice. You've been putting up a whale of a fight. I tell you, my good friend Buck, he's one of your attorneys, and he said, hey, you're going at it. You're going to be his last case he handled, he said.
Well, I hope him more years in the ring than me being the last one. That's for sure.
Your case is a pretty famous case, though. I mean, I like what you're doing. I remember I came out there and marched with you a couple of times. I love.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Yeah. You're on the right side of this one. I'm proud to be your friend. Always proud to be your friend. In fact, your voice just makes my whole day for me.
Absolutely, and yours too, man. I've been thinking about you and thinking about you. I think about this signature Toyota place down here. I say, Henry ain't driving no more cars. What is he doing?
Well, there is a shortage of those Toyotas, and so I can't get across the state. But I'll keep my eye out. In fact, I'll call them up and ask them specifically for one to come out there to signature.
Absolutely, and then we can go have lunch or something in your spare time, or we can make a few minutes for ourselves.
That'd be wonderful. I look forward to that, spending time with you and Dorothy.
Right. I miss you, man. I really do. And listen, let's talk about your journey here, how you got to where it is today, how you've been fighting for all these years. And here, the good news, you've been winning. See, people don't know stuff about you. You go up against the system. They always look at, most of the time you're going to lose. But in your case, You're winning.
We are winning. We're pretty ecstatic about this. And I'm glad you brought up Buck Davis's name. He's very key to this. What we've done, and you know this better than most people, is that about 20 years ago, I traveled to Palestine to see what was going on there. And it didn't take me very long to find out that that's a pretty apartheid state going on, that that Israel, the Jewish state, is waging upon the Palestinian people. So I came back and I wanted to tell what then was my community. I was raised a Jew, but I've had my eyes opened in the last 20 years, and it started when I went there and found out what Jewish people were doing to Palestinian people, and I was pretty outraged by it. And I went to the synagogue to ask if I could speak in front of a men's group on a Wednesday or something like that, and show the pictures that I took in Palestine, show pictures of the teachers that I met, the politicians that I met, the little seamstresses that I met, this wonderful people over there, and realize that, you know, our media doesn't give us the straight skinny on what's going on. Everything is clouded, and we are placed in a point of confusion. I heard part of your opening monologue there, and I think people do need to get educated, and they need to be able to do their own research and to find out for themselves what they need to do and what they can do to help right the wrongs of this world. I mean, that's basically the Christian imperative, isn't it, to right the wrongs? And when I came back and I wanted to share my experiences with the Jewish community, and they said, "Oh no, you can't come in here." And I went to two other synagogues in Ann Arbor, because Ann Arbor has 6 times the Jewish population of the United States. The United States is about 2% Jewish, and Ann Arbor is about 12%. So I'm really here in the belly of the beast, as well you know, because you've come over a number of times, you and Dorothy, and have stood with us. Made me very proud to be your friend at those times, and that's what we did. Jumping ahead of myself there, but we started a protest out in front of the synagogue that I used to attend, and yesterday we completed 19 years of protest every Saturday morning. That we are we protest peacefully with signs. Mm-hmm. I often think about you when I'm holding my sign, because I know I'm holding it too still. When you were out there, you were flashing it up and down in front of all the traffic, having yourself a good time. We don't have much of a good time out there. We just do our work.
We had an incredible time out there, because we know, like you said, we was on the right side. And what you, yeah. you know, what you was doing is so incredible. A lot of people is never going to understand the work that you have done so far. They're not going to understand that, because they understand what the evil empire is doing. They don't understand what you're doing. The newspaper is not on our side. They're on their side, the evil empire. That's how what I call them, the evil empire. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Who is driving the evil empire? You know, who mm-hmm. is causing the wars? Who has complicity? Who had foreknowledge of 9/11 attacks, this being the anniversary of the attacks in New York and Washington, D.C.? You know, who had foreknowledge of all this? There's a lot of information out there to link the state of Israel and its intelligence agencies to the attacks on 9/11. I'm not an expert on this, and it's not my main force that's driving me. It is, it's justice and liberation for the Palestinian people, and it's also an awareness of the corrupt influence that the elite Jews have in this country to undermine our true national interests, the U.S. interests. The Nation of Islam understands that. Mr. Farrakhan understands that. He's been very, very clear about that. One of these days, I'm still going to hold you to the promise of introducing me to Mr. Farrakhan. It'd be really thrilling, and it'd be great for the three of us to get together. One day we will. As
Absolutely.
They say in Palestine, inshallah, right? With God's blessing.
Hey, amen. But you know, your group, it's been 19 years. Is Gloria still walking with y'all?
Gloria has retired. She just turned 80, so she decided that was gonna be enough. But she was there from the first day on, and she'll be very happy to know that you've brought her name up. I will. I'll call her later today and let her know. But you know, there's been a lot of You know, the Grim Reaper has taken his toll on our group. Marcia Fetterbush no longer lives, and Lee Booth and Shirley Zempel. These were people that were out there every Saturday morning, and now they are not, because they don't live. They're not among the living now.
Yes. And you know, it was incredible. I mean, very religiously, you guys was out there right in front of the synagogue, and one of the most powerful synagogues there was in Ann Arbor.
Well, it certainly is a powerful organization. They can raise $1 million in one night at fundraising for the Jewish Federation of Washtenaw County. So we are playing up against big players, which brings us to the lawsuit that was filed against us almost 3 years ago now, and it's still ongoing. And there's a big link here between my efforts in Ann Arbor and your efforts. I'll get to that in a little bit. The almost 3 years ago, I received a letter from one of the Jewish members of the synagogue demanding that we take down one of our signs. The sign read "End the Palestinian Holocaust." And this man, Marvin Gerber, was very upset at that sign, and he demanded that I retract the sign, make a public statement, and we said that we wouldn't do that. And in fact, the term Holocaust has been applied to the Palestinian people, what they have suffered over the last 75 years, and so we. You know, we refused to do that, and a month later, he then an attorney representing him filed a 95-page lawsuit against us, and this suit is typically described as a slap suit, SLAPP, strategic lawsuit against public participation. And what it can do is, like, if you have a wealthy plaintiff like Marvin Gerber was, he owns a lot of property, rental property in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and Ann Arbor. You can wage war against somebody and drive them into bankruptcy. So even if I were to prevail, I would have so much in lawyer fees that it would break me. And that's where the good offices of Buck Davis showed up. And they chose to represent us pro bono. And the case was adjudicated in the U.S. District Court in Detroit by a black woman named Victoria Roberts. She was the judge in the case. And she said, nothing these people do, these people being me and my friends, nothing we do falls outside the scope of the First Amendment protected speech. Their attorney, a man named Mark Susselman from Canton, Ohio, he tried to use the First Amendment, and he tried to really abuse the First Amendment, because of course we have the First Amendment includes freedom of speech and freedom to worship, freedom of religion. Well, what he meant, you know, that was a total misread of the First Amendment, because the First Amendment, and I'm not a lawyer, and any of your listeners want to correct me, they can speak up and do that. But the, the First Amendment says that the government, that Congress cannot prevent you from participating in a religion.
Right.
So it's nothing, individual actors like you and me, that doesn't, the First Amendment doesn't apply to us, even if we were infringing on their right to worship, which we don't. We've been called a picket, and you've been out there enough to know that we don't impede anybody from going into the synagogue. We don't block the car lanes. We don't block the sidewalks. We don't yell at people. We are a peaceful vigil. We call ourselves a vigil. They call us a picket. Well, pickets are designed to keep people out. You know, the famous picket lines in front of car manufacturing plants want to keep the scab workers out, but we don't want to keep the Jews out of their place of worship. Let them go in and pray, you know. But what are you praying for, man? You know, you got a foreign flag flying in the pulpit, you know, along with the United States flag. And then Jewish people get upset when they're accused of dual loyalty. Come on, it's right there in front of God and everybody to see. There's two flags inside their prayer sanctuary, and then they get upset about this. But I don't want to stray a little bit. The lawsuit began. Judge Roberts dismissed the lawsuit because they didn't have enough. There was no evidence. We didn't do any of the things I was talking about.
They have no grounds for it. Period.
They had no grounds for it, and so that's what started then the appeal process. They went to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, and the three-judge panel said that on the merits of the case, we support the findings of Judge Roberts. The plaintiffs they're trying to beat this thing into an answer that they want. It's a Hebrew word is called pilpul, P-I-L-P-U-L, and it means to argue. You know, the real definition is it's to argue so incessantly and loudly that your opponent just gives up. You know, that you reach the conclusion that you wanted, but not the real conclusion that would be warranted, not the just conclusion. And Judge Roberts saw this. And so she dismissed the case. The three-judge panel agreed with her. They then went back to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they wanted a hearing en banc. I don't know what religion that's from, but it means the entire bench. Not just three judges, but all 18 of them or 24, whatever there is in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the funny thing was they couldn't even get any judge to agree to that because this was such an open and shut First Amendment free speech case. And you know, it's one of those things, Ed, that we are we considered ourselves during the pandemic – we considered ourselves essential workers because we were out there supporting and defending the First Amendment. I mean, it's one of those things that you use it or lose it. And
that's right.
And we find menacing people trying to reduce our ability to express ourselves. It's in the censoring on the internet, on the social media platforms, certain things you can say and certain things you can't say. Well, that's not free speech. If I'm in judgment of everything you say and I allow you to say some things and not allow you to say other things, well then, you know, I can't claim I'm a free speech person. And that's what the social media are doing, the Mark Zuckerbergs and the people that run TikTok and all the other platforms. It's very, very tightly controlled. So this was really a breath of fresh air that that not only did the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals agree with Judge Roberts, but they refused to have an en banc hearing. And then that didn't stop or slow down the attorneys for the plaintiffs. They went to the Supreme Court. And they asked
the United States Supreme Court?
The U.S. Supreme Court, yes, sir.
All right, go ahead. Big.
So they went and what they did was they filed what the lawyers called a writ of certiorari. And I think that means they want to have the Supreme Court hear this case. Because they felt it was so important. In fact, one of the plaintiffs got angry with the attorney, Mark Susselman, and he went to Washington, D.C. to get himself a super lawyer named Nathan Liu, and, of course, another Jewish person. And I guess he is personal friends with one of the newly installed judges. His name escapes me right now, but he asked him in a private letter if they would hear the case. And in any case, in May and March and May of this year, the Supreme Court denied both writs of certiorari, and that basically put an end to the case. Technically, that put an end to the case. But our attorneys, Buck and his associates, Cynthia Heenan and John Shea, filed a request for reimbursement. And, the Roberts, Judge Roberts, awarded our attorneys, awarded Buck and his friends, almost $160,000. And now, this attorney Susselman has been arguing that back and forth. And so he's accruing more time against him. But you can understand, if I came to my friend Ed Pinckney and said, hey, I need $160,000 to defend myself in court against this slap suit, you'd say, Henry, my heart's with you, but my wallet is bare, so I can't help you, right? So just fortunately, we've had these pro bono lawyers to take up our case. So the case is ongoing. This attorney Susselman, in my opinion, should be disbarred. He's used language in one of his appeals that was so insulting, including the N-word, I thought he should be disbarred. I mean, he was making up
I'm surprised they didn't reprimand him or something.
Well, he's been reprimanded a couple times, but nothing serious enough. And then finally, he is writing back, and now, as Jews always do, they claim anti-Semitism. I mean, it's just like it's knee jerk. He's going after Victoria Roberts because she's black, and he brings up these charts made out of somewhere. I don't know who are making these charts up, but he says that the black Americans are more likely to be anti-Semitic than the regular Americans, or, the conglomerate of Americans. And it's this is outrageous that he should be able to get away with this. There's no hint of, in this case at least, there's no hint to Judge Roberts being anti-Semitic or having anti-Jewish sentiment. I mean, that word has been hijacked, hasn't it? to use the word anti-Semitic, well, Jews are not Semitic. Arabs are Semitic. Palestinians are Semitic. But Jews are from Europe. That's the whole issue.
A lot of people don't know what that word means. Remember this, a lot of people do not know what that word means, Henry. That's what it's all about. That's what they be counting on. But look, Henry, you got 2 minutes. But I got to have you back because this is such a great case. I mean, this is just a huge fight that you're fighting. That I tell you, I got to take my hat off to you. This is way up there.
Oh, you're very sweet. I thought we had an hour, not an hour. We only have a half hour.
Yeah, only a half.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. You know how to get a hold of me. I'm available anytime to anybody who wants to help me put out my story and fight for Palestinian rights.
Give them your email.
Say that again.
Give them your email.
My email address is HERSKO, the first six letters of my last name, HERSKO, at UMICH.edu. Any of your listeners wants to write me, I can put them on my list when I write a vigil report. I write one about once a month now, and I'll be happy to add their names to the list, and they can keep current as to what we are doing and how we've now entered our 20th year. And so I'll let people know on a monthly basis how we're doing.
Amen. And you know what, Dave? Henry, I definitely take my hat off to you. You've been in this fight for so long, and you're a brother to me, and I really appreciate you. And I'm going to get you back on. I'm going to email you with all the questions people are going to have, and let you know what they say. And if you can, set a little time for me next week if you can. And I'm going to see if I can get you back.
All right. I'll do that, my friend. You take care, and I'm anxious to see you again.
All right, then. Take care of yourself now. That was my good friend. All right, now. My good friend, Henry. From Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's been my friend for many years. A strong fighter. I protest with him many years. We walk and protest. He's Jewish. Now listen to this. He's Jewish, but he also picketing the Jewish seminar. You know, so I mean that is huge to me. And he's fighting for the Palestinians. You know. I don't think there's no more we can say about that. This guy is huge, and he definitely got my vote. But listen, let me talk a little bit about this young man. Something happened to him, and then I'm going to bring in my next guest. He was a guy named Rufus. He was pretty much minding his own business. And this guy, for no reason, gave him a ride. He didn't need a rack because everything is close in Benton Harbor. And during the process, he had some alcohol in the car, got him drunk, took him to inside the building, and attempted to choke him out so he can rape him. And this is the third person this person has done this to. It is unfortunate that this goes on in our community like this. And he's going to get away with it. Because one thing they said, that the guy was too drunk, but he bit his finger where the DNA from the bite, and they took DNA, but they said they couldn't, for some reason, couldn't do it or couldn't get it together. I don't know nothing about what they're saying, but I kind of suspected that they was not going to do anything to him because the person that did it was a Caucasian. And the person that he did it to happened to be black. And this is the third victim. The third victim. When I said the third victim, I mean exactly that, the third victim. But I got to give my man some time. My good friend, Malak, from beautiful, sunny California. And I know he got a lot to say. He's my brother. I love him. And Malak, come in here and talk to me because I'm telling you, I'm having one of them weeks that nobody would believe.
Shalom, shalom, Pastor Pinkney. How you
shalom,
doing?
Shalom, my brother. Shalom.
How's everything? I see you. we got Brother Jerome on the phone too.
Hey,
yeah, shalom, Pastor Pinkney. How you doing?
Feeling? You know I'm rocking and rolling and rocking.
That's right.
Yeah. Trying to make it happen.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So listen, I know you guys, you got about 20 minutes to tell me what you want to talk about. I don't even care what you guys want to talk about because I know whatever you talk about, everybody's going to be interested in what you got to say. So talk to me. Tell us what you want us to know. Tell us what's going on. Let's start this show off with a bang.
All right. Well, shalom, everybody out there in the four corners. We are the real jewels of the earth. Hey, Pastor Pinkney, you heard about the queen dying, right, recently?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the real true people that's called the Israelites, that's the real Jews of the earth, we was the ones that was in Deuteronomy 28 that go through the curses that was on the ships. It is impossible for the so-called Negro in America to be anti-Semitic. It's impossible because we are Semitic. Semitic means that you come from the lineage of Shem, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So how can we be anti-Semitic against ourselves? We are the only people on the earth, right, that walk around with no identity, as the Bible would say, that we would, that was Jeremiah 17 and 14, that we would be disconnected from our heritage, right? We would not know who we were in the last days before the Messiah come back to redeem us from the four corners of the earth. But so now the queen passed away, right?
Right.
And now a lot of stuff that she had, right, is starting to come out. I don't know if you've been on my page lately, but we brought out some artifacts, that some little symbols that she wear on her clothes, right? And one of the symbols is that it's it looked like a demon with wings, because it don't look like an angel because of the way the face is created. It is like something evil is holding down a black man with wings on her. They got wings. But it's holding down a black man, got his foot on top of his head, right? And so we went even deeper, right? Now, Jacob had a stone that was anointed, right? And it's his anointing stone or anointing pillar that he had, right? And this particular pillar that Jacob anointed, right? Do you know that the queen sits on it, on her throne? All of the queens of the earth sit. They put it right under her seat, and they sit upon this stone, right? And it's a form of showing that we are in captivity, right? At the bottom of it, it has four lions, lions of Judah, right? So the four lions of Judah stands for the four corners of the children of Israel that were scattered by ships, right? So then they have the anointed stone placed up under her seat that she sits her fat butt on, right? An anointed stone by one of our ancestors, and she gonna sit on it.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So now all of this information is starting to come out. I don't know if you ever watched Wizard of Oz, but the Wizard of Oz is about us, right? A lot of people don't know that, right? But the actual story is Dorothy coming from another land. They tell her about this new god. His name is Oz. And then everything becomes the Wizard of Oz, right? She gets
right.
She has a scarecrow, tin man, and a lion, right? But these are all different dimensions of herself, right? So she, if you know about sovereignty, right, the first thing that happens when when you go into the system with your birth certificate, your Social Security card, your ID, and all that stuff, you become what they call a straw man, right? So
right.
Now Dorothy is now a straw man because she don't have a brain. She can't speak for herself. Every time she go to court, somebody got to speak for her. You are not a flesh and blood person, right? So since you are not a
right.
flesh and blood person, there's certain rights that you just don't have, right? And so now in the Constitution, right, we are, what, three-fifths of a human in their eyes, right? So we really don't have no rights to speak. This is why we always got to have somebody speaking for us until we actually identify ourselves as natural flesh and blood people, right? So Wizard of Oz is about Dorothy going through these three different dimensions of herself, right? But it's a witch that's holding her, not just her, but her people down from going back to where they're supposed to go to, right? So now we got the cowardly lion, right? That's the lion of Judah, right? The Bible says that we're going to be a lion crouched down, and who shall arouse us, right? Like, what is it going to take for the lion to get up and really start roaring? We didn't see everything happen to us as a people in this land, and we haven't never, ever fought back. Right. I mean, we fought back in certain cases, but I'm just saying, like, as a nation of people, we ain't never fought back against the system that comes so hard against us. Right. We are so humble. We like a crouching lion. Right. Then we got the tin man. He don't have a heart. Right. So to have a heart, y'all heard of Braveheart. Right. If you go into war, you got to have heart to fight the war. We don't have
there
a heart. So with those three things that we're missing, it was impossible for us to get back to our land. Right? So Dorothy goes all the way, and she goes to the Wizard of Oz. She finds out that the god that they've been telling her that was going to give her so many things was wrong. He was a lie. He was a real man, right? And so that's the same thing that's happening to us, right? So we realizing when we start really doing our research and study, right, who is this white guy on these pictures, right? Is that really the Christ that we supposed to serve? No, it's not. That's Cesar Bozier, and he was a regular flesh and blood person, and he was a homosexual. He was he was having sex with his own sister. He was a poisoner, and so they put him up to be our new God. And so when they did that, it threw us off, and we were stuck here. So now Dorothy finds this out. As soon as she finds this out, the queen dies, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or the witch dies. You get me, right? The witch dies. And then all of a sudden, all this power is released, and now we can go back to our land, right? So let me read this scripture to you real quick. Hold on one second. All right, so this is Ezekiel 28. We got way more than this, but I'm going to go to Ezekiel 28, verse 25. You got that, Elder?
Ezekiel 28, verse 25?
Yep.
Yeah. So 28 and 25 says, "Thus saith the Most High God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses, and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence, when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them. And they shall know that I am the Most High, their God."
All right, so that's the whole prophecy right there, right? So the prophecy is that the same people that were scattered got to be gathered, right? When we get ready to go back to the land, because that's the whole prophecy of the Bible, is us going back to our land. We ain't just going to Israel. We taking the land that was given to Abraham. It was from the Euphrates River all the way to the river of Nam, right? So why do we call ourselves the Israelites, right? What proof do we have that we are these people, right? The proof is the Bible itself, right? Deuteronomy 28 from 1 to 14 is all the blessings that our ancestors would have got if they would have kept them commandments. But if they didn't keep the commandments, from 15 all the way to 68 is the curses that we would have to live through until we come back to the natural state of our understanding of who we are, right? So one of the last curses is that we will go on ships. We will come to captivity on ships and be sold as male and female slaves, right? So now let's go back in time, right, when Christ was walking the earth, right? 70 years after his death, right, he had told the children of Israel, before he died, that when they see the armies come against Jerusalem, then they supposed to run into the mountains, right? So what he meant by that is in 70 AD, the Jews ran into Africa, right? Because they are Shemitic people, right, which is black, and then we got the Hamitic people. Every time that we wanted to hide from our people or hide from other nations, we would always run to the Hamites. Christ ran in Egypt. They ran him into Egypt when he was a baby because they was killing all of the babies. You can't run no white baby into Africa.
No.
And they'd be like, there you go right there, right? So we ran into Africa, and we went into a land called Niger, right? Niger means black, and this was in West Africa right by Ghana, right? So we originated in that land, and then when the Spaniards came, they called that land, they said black in Spanish. How you say black in Spanish, Elder?
Negro.
I was trying to ask a pygmy. Okay, Negro land, right? So this became Negro land, right? So all of those people that was in that region, right? Then we had some other parts of our people that was in Spain. And Spain had, they was trying to convert our people into Christianity. So they told them that they either had to convert or leave. And this was one of the biggest, this is history. You can't even get past this. This was like the biggest migration of all the people leaving Spain coming to West Africa, which was in Ghana. And when we all came there and got to the same exact place, they made all the kings at that time came against us, and they made a creed that we must go into slavery, right? So they got us, and they scattered us to the four corners of the earth. And then, so this is why that scripture said the same people that were scattered got to be gathered, right? So we are those people. So it's that deep. So with the queen dying now, a lot of the information is starting to come out because, of course, you know, like if you look at the movie, which is A Wizard of Oz, right, when she died, a lot of the power that she had over us was going to diminish, right? And so since it's diminishing, now it's more and more things showing that her whole purpose was to hold the so-called Israelite man down in America and all the places around. We are the most feared people on the face of the planet. Because when we come back into the knowledge of ourselves, the game is over, right?
Absolutely.
But it's hard for us to come back into the knowledge.
When we get the knowledge of ourselves, we got to get the knowledge of ourselves. Now we don't have it. We out here doing everything.
Yep. So now we got celebrities, everybody, man, I'm telling you, the whole nation, our nation is waking up all over the place, right? So now we got celebrities in our group. Some of them still there, some of them left or whatever, but we got them in our group. And we, like Nick Cannon, right, he knew that he was an Israelite. He said it on national TV. They tried to ban him, right? Because why? Because the whole network that's owned is owned by Jewish people. And then when Jewish people hear us say that who we are, the first thing that they want to do is they want to silence us and say anti-Semitic. You being anti-Semitic, right? And we not being anti-Semitic on something that's history, that's proven who we are, right? If this is who we are, how are we being anti-Semitic? Everybody, you know how many different kind of people call themselves the chosen people? But they don't want black people saying that? It is crazy.
Well, no.
You got Amish people. You got Mormons. We could go down the list of just the Jewish set within itself, right? All of these people is different people saying that they the chosen people of God when it is 12 tribes of Israel, right? And then the crazy part, the tribe that they claiming to be, they not even that.
Because
if you ain't coming off the slave ships, it's impossible for you to be Judah. You can't be Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Judah was so strong we could take down 1,000 men. We had 200 men running for one man. And what man on earth is strong enough to do that right now? We still strong enough to do that. Come on, man. We four times stronger than every other race on the planet, man. That's just how it is, right? We the fastest people. We the strongest people. We the best fighters, all of that. These are gifts from the Most High himself. We are the children of Israel, right? And so now that the queen is gone, like I said, there's a lot of stuff starting to pop up. So y'all got to stay on my page so y'all can start seeing the different stuff that's popping up. My name is Malak Israel on Facebook. So if y'all get on there real quick, just follow me. And we putting up a lot of information, and we uncovering what's supposed to be uncovered in the last days, right? We in the last days right now. The same people that was hated, the Bible says the people that was called not the people, right, shall be called the people of the living God, right? He said that we shall be as the sand of the sea in multiple numbers, rising up all over the planet to come back to the land that he gave our fathers. So it's going down right now, Pinkney.
I see it. And you know, I'm glad that you open up people's eyes, because, you know, sometimes it's you know, like I do, what I do, I give you the information, and what you do with that information is on you. I don't be playing around with the people, because like you mess around, they have you thinking like they thinking and stuff like that. You know what you saying? Now they not real Israelites. And black folks, if white folks say it, black folks repeat it, and they'll tell other people that, because that's what they do. They believe white people, but they don't believe black people. You see, and they could be saying the same thing. You know.
And the thing about it, being an Israelite isn't like what us saying we are Israelite. When they look at it, that's like you being racist. It don't have nothing to do with being racist.
Right.
It's us showing who we really truly are, right? This is who we are. We can prove it with DNA. We can prove it with science. We can prove it with the Bible. We can prove it with history. It's now that the Most High said in the last days, he's going to start dropping down knowledge like rain, right? You can't hide nothing no more. We got the internet. We can go all the way to the Hebrew. We can go to the Paleo Hebrew. We can go to the Pictograph Hebrew. It's impossible to hide stuff now. We can go to the Dead Sea Scrolls. You can't hide nothing no more. We go to the Lost Books. We go to the Apocrypha. We can go to the Book of Enoch. We can go to the Book of Joshua. We can go to the Book of... We can just do it all day long, and everything going to come back to who the true Israelites are. Period.
There you go. So, well, listen, you got a couple of minutes. Give people your address, email address, so they can contact you. And once again, I want to thank you and Jerome. Y'all just masterful. What y'all do is just huge. And we got to keep it moving and make sure it happens, because it's nothing more important than that. Give them your address, and they got to move on.
All right. Y'all can get with me on my email address is Malak, M-A-L-A-K, which means king in Hebrew. So it's Malak Shalom 72@gmail.com. Malak Shalom 72@gmail. You can get me on Facebook, Malak Israel, Y in front of the Israel. Y in front of Israel. You can get at me over there. And I just want to thank Pastor Pinkney for having me on. All praise to the Most High. Kwam Yasha Allah. All praise to the Most High. Shalom.
Amen. I can see it's going down. Look, I want to give the quick Sambo talk about the Sambo Dips. Then Belinda Parker Brown, I'll bring you in, because I know you got some news that you want to tell us. But we have a new leader for the Sambo of the Year. This is the first time in history that we ever had a woman. Judge Mayfield, she was at the leader at one time. But we have a mother and a son, 1 and 2, for the Sambo of the Year Award. My letter seats have taken the lead for the Sambo of the Year Award. She have taken the lead. She has 6,594 votes. My letter seats have zoomed to the top. She is the leader of the Sambo Award, and she deserves it. She deserves the Sambo Award. I'm glad that when I asked people to give them some love, they gave them some love, and we're moving to the next level. And then we have her son, Dwayne C., number 2. He got 6,590 votes. So he's number 2. They're moving a mother and a son, 1 and 2, for the Sambo of the Year Award. This is incredible. I am so excited just to see something like that. And they deserve it. They deserve a lot more votes. You know, but I want y'all to give them a love so they can have give them some love so they can have a comfortable lead for this Sambo of the Year Award, because we're getting ready to close it out pretty soon. But right now, they're jockeying for position. Everybody's trying to get the Sambo of the Year Award, and we want to make sure that they get it, because they deserve it being the best sellout in the whole state of Michigan. Then we go on to Ron Singleton. Ron Singleton is the one who stole a whole radio station, 105.3. Charles Kelly died. And this guy bullied his wife out of the radio station and took over the radio station, and now he thinks he's the owner of it. He's the president and the manager of the radio station. He's not the president. He is what he is, a low-life scumbag. And also, what he did, he was a police officer, and he retired as a corporal, and now he's getting lieutenant pay. Him and the chief of police was friends. So they're stealing money from the city of Benton Harbor for the last 10 years. He's been stealing the money. So it's been incredible. Then we have Judge Mayfield, the baby snatcher. She's a judge, a real judge, who go out and snatch babies and give them a Waco. That's the biggest money-making thing they got. Everybody get paid but black folks. Everybody. And then we have the one and only Marcus Singer, the mayor of there. He has dropped down to number five. Look, folks, give that man some love. He's from the Nation of Islam. I want you people from the Nation of Islam to call in and vote for him because he deserves it. You're not going to let him lose. He won last year, but he was nominated again this year. So Marcus Singer, the mayor of Benton Harbor, he has 6,582 votes. So he's up there too. And listen, I got to tell about McGinnis. He's in last place at 6,560 votes. And I tell you, this has really been something challenging. I am excited about this. You know, Maletta Cease have taken the top spot. She's now leading the Soundboard of the Year Award, followed by her son. Never, ever happened before, a mother and a son in one, first and second place, followed by Ryan Singleton. And we got it all ready. Then the mayor himself, Marcus Singer. He's not Muhammad. We took that name back from him. But listen, I'm going to give you more details tomorrow. I got to move on. I got to bring in my good friend, Belinda Parker Brown, and let's see where she at and see what we can do. On that note, stay with me. Belinda Parker Brown, talk to me.
Yes, indeed, Pastor Pinckney. Congratulations to Maletta Cease and her son, Dwayne Cease. They deserve it. Just like you said, they deserve the Ensemble Award of the Year. So I hope they come in as a tie so both of them can get it.
We're doing all we can. We get after people to give them love. And look, that guy, Michael Hoyt, did you know Michael Hoyt? he's a white boy. He's going right here. What he do, he choke, get them guys drunk, and then take them inside that church and then choke them out and then rape them. And he did this to one guy named Rufus. What he done to the three guys, only Rufus had came forward. And he contacted me and told me the story. And the police say they didn't believe the guy. He's a white guy. He said, why would a white guy want to rape you, And you're an alcoholic and, stuff like that. And I said, no way, we're not letting him off the hook. Yeah, so he hangs out with the seats. Maletta and Dwayne and Marcus, all of them hang together.
Wow.
Well,
I've been enjoying the show, and I'm glad you had to go ahead and make that phenomenal announcement that they need to give them some love and keep it coming because, they all can tie up. They all can get the same score, and then you just have to be out of giving all of them an award. But, I think that would be a great thing. That would be phenomenal if we can get them all to tie up, and then we just give them all the award for the year, Pastor Pinckney. But I have some news to share. I've been enjoying the show. I've been really enjoying the show, especially with your last caller. A lot, that young man was really putting some heavy information down, and I feel like, people really need to be listening carefully because there's a lot going on in the world, Pastor Pinckney, especially with the hands off the Huru movement and, the African Socialist Party. They got to be something on the horizon when, for black people here in America, black people, period, all over the world, it's something on the horizon. And then just listening to your last caller, it's just some real good information, some heavy information, So I'm definitely going to be going to his Facebook page and, emailing him and trying to keep myself informed as much as possible about that educational information that he's sharing. But, Pastor Pinckney, you know that when we, the last time we talked, you know, we've been in the trenches here in Louisiana. I do certainly apologize, you know, that we were not able to come back to your show and give you some more updates. And the reason for that is because, we have been stalled. You know, the people are really putting a lot of pressure on us in regards to trying to sentence, you know, Reverend Victor to life in Angola for a crime he did not commit. It's nowhere in God's name that they that he could have done or even did what they say he did. So, but anyhow, there have also been some, I believe that there was some foul play. You know, we're not saying a whole lot about it, but, you know, my assistant chief of operation, you know, she transitioned a few days ago. They found her dead in her home. And I'm just so hurt over that, Pastor Pinckney. It's hard for me to talk about it. But nevertheless, she was able to spit out of a document and forced herself that we had to file that document before midnight, before Pastor Victor was going to be sentenced on Friday to life in prison. And what happened is that they did not sentence him. So we have another week to hear back from the 19th Judicial Court that is supposed to be staying everything and allowing Pastor Victor some sort of relief. So that's my update.
Okay, very, very good. I'm sorry to hear about Zena. You know, that she was a true warrior, and she, you know, she been all over the place, and you know, I think that was her brother, her sister, one of them. I received something from them in reference to her dying, and I won't talk about all the stuff they said, but let's talk soon, and then iron out some of the stuff. I'm hoping and praying that everything come together, and let's talk soon, and then we can do some things and make things happen. And listen,
loved you, Pastor Pinckney. She admired you. You have been a great inspiration to the great work that, you know, she was a part of, with working very closely with me as my assistant chief of operation. We always laughed and talked about you, and, you know, drew a lot of inspiration from, you know, being on your show and just supporting the movement altogether, Pastor Pinckney. You know, I just want you to know that. But it's really a trying time for me right now, because we will talk soon, and I will give you some updates on some of the investigation and stuff that's going on in regards to her.
All right, then. We'll talk soon. And take care, you know, tell your husband and everybody, say hey, and take care of yourself.
Okay, now. All right. Bye-bye.